Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is a crazy story. So a Florida woman was attacked. She went to the hospital. She was attacked by a belligerent raccoon, Kane. In a scene that a neighbor described as something out of a horror movie, the attack occurred St. Augustine, Monday night. The 75-year-old Florida woman and her pet dog were chased into their own home, and they were trapped inside for an hour and a half by the belligerent raccoon. According to neighbor and friend John Ness, who helped fight off the raccoon, he said raccoon was, quote, big and powerful. Definitely something that I have never seen before. She's 75 years old. It bit at her ankles. She got bites on her foot. She was left bleeding. The neighbor spotted the raccoon around 8 p.m. loitering on her porch. And before the raccoon made a beeline inside somehow, where he then mauled the homeowner and her dog. Ness heard the woman's screams and he ran over to help. But the chubby raccoon, who tipped the scales at 30 pounds, was in no mood to leave. Ness recalled, quote, "We couldn't get him out, and he was on top of me." What? And at one point, apparently, he was able to grab a butcher knife. I had to double check. This was Ness, the neighbor, and not the raccoon. And repeatedly stabbed the raccoon with it. He goes, "I actually used the knife when he was on me to stab it continuously until he got off of me," his direct quote. But even after being repeatedly stabbed, the belligerent, combative raccoon kept lunging at Ness, so Ness stabbed him a couple more times. Then Ness called 911, and Florida Fish and Wildlife responded, and they carried off the crazed critter, and they dispatched it with one shot.
It still wasn't dead?
It wasn't dead. It's a badass raccoon. The homeowner was taken to the hospital, treated for animal bites, screened for rabies. She's since been discharged. Her dog had been vaccinated against rabies, did not require medical attention. Okay, I got to ask a question. Because this Ness guy, you know, he looks like he works out. He doesn't look like a schlub, you know. It's a 30-pound raccoon. Okay, my Frenchie weighed a little more than 30 pounds. Both of them. How do you not get it off you? It's still small enough. My youngest son has a rule. If it's smaller than you, you can kick it. It is kickable.
That's a rule. That's a law. That's a thing.
That's science. Yeah. It's kickable. This thing was yeetable. I love the way that the neighbor describes it, because he's like, the raccoon was on top of me, like they were trading punches, like it was UFC, right? And he somehow managed to get a hold of a butcher knife. I don't know where she keeps her knives, you know, like, were they on the floor? Like, what was happening here?
More effort to stab it.
Yes. He stabbed this thing multiple times, and it still was attacking him? Partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Sub 2K. Gen 3 is out. It's shipping now. And if you do not have this 9mm carbine, it's one of the newest things. Somewhat new. Came out around the first of the year from Kel-Tec. And it is, like I said, 9mm carbine, awesome, simple, twist and fold. You can literally fold it right in half, and you don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half either. It's a very simple twist and fold motion. You have that rotating fore-end, patent pending, in either direction, twist in either direction, it folds it right in half, and it just as quickly and easily deploys it with optics and all, which is nice. They've done a lot of upgrades on this. They've got the upgraded aluminum trigger, so you have a more precise feedback, improved accuracy, upgraded action, lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open as well, all providing improved manipulation. You got a new chamber indicator too, and it's made in America right here, actually in Florida. Kel-Tec family owned and operated, and they've been doing this for a long time. Very innovative, and they stand behind everything that they do. To learn more about the Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you. Kane sent me this story, and I had some stuff I was going to talk about in this segment, but now this is completely hot, just attention jacked the whole segment now. You sent me this yesterday. We had a headline on, or no, day before, right? Monday
it
on
was,
jeans.
No, it was yesterday that we talked about it. We saw it over the weekend.
Though. Yeah. We were talking about jeans and how it made me think of it with this whole, with the concept of talking about the Cold War and Ukraine going into NATO, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And how jeans became like the symbol the symbol of freedom and capitalism. And North Korea has this old BBC, this gardening program where they blur the dude's pants out because he's in jeans, and they don't allow jeans in North Korea. It's true. You can only get one of several haircuts if you live there as well. I know. It's, but now they say that wearing jeans, first they said jeans and hoodies could help tackle climate change. That was in 2014. And now they say wearing jeans is bad for the environment. That's the new thing. And they said, I do want to know who, because the other one that I had said like 2-something miles. So this article said a study revealed wearing one pair is the equivalent of driving for like over 6 miles. Who sits down there and figures that out? I want to drag them behind my car. Who sits down and does this? Well, let's see. Figuring out my... my pair of pants is equal to how much driving. What a weird measure. Kane, how much driving is your pants equal to?
6.6 miles.
I don't know what the hell I'm wearing. I don't know what I'm wearing. I'm wearing
something.
Because
aren't jeans made from cotton?
Yeah, my pants are made from cotton.
So is it cotton?
I'm in brown, which is Wooden Goth discovered color.
Or are they trying to argue that the machinery that actually make the jeans are the ones that are causing
what about the child labor in the underdeveloped countries where they outsource all the making of their jeans now? Yeah. I mean, you know, oh, that's right. That doesn't count. That pollution doesn't count if it's in, you know, if it's over, it's in Asia. That's white privilege. The pollution counts less when Chinese kids and Uyghurs that are imprisoned make the product. Did you know this?
I didn't.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Like if you're mining over here, like say you're going and you're digging for cobalt, right? You can't do that really here because, you know, bad for the environment and stuff. And, you know, the labor, you gotta, ugh. But if you are in Asia or if you are a black child in the Democratic Republic of Congo, it doesn't count as much because the white people that drive all the products that are powered by cobalt don't see it. You see how that works? The white progressives don't see it because they don't see the abuse of which would count for over here, minority labor, they don't really see that, so it doesn't count, right? Nothing says racist white privilege like progressives acting like the pollution doesn't occur because it's in a country where they can't see it. Wow. That's true, though. That's how they look at it. Well, there's no pollution here. I just don't see it. Everything is nice and pristine. Meanwhile, in China, they literally have cancer lakes. Like, they call them cancer lakes. Everybody that lives by there dies. They're, like, pink. Google it. For real. Yeah. They don't care about the environment over there. You think China cares about the environment? No. No. But, hey, it's not here. So it doesn't count, right? It's in China. It's in a place I've never heard of before. It's all the way over there. So it doesn't matter. So now they were saying that in 2014 less energy was wasted if people wear casual clothing. I felt like they were trying to tell everybody to dress like schlubs, right?
Well, they didn't have to say anything about that in the 90s.
I just want to know where they get the arbitrary. It's like driving a car for 6 miles. Well, if you wear leather pants, how many? Oh,
that's like riding a cow for a half mile,
right? It's like driving 5 cars at once.
A gassy cow.
This is wild. It doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense. So, I don't know. I'm amazed. So now it's bad for the environment. They can't really. It's like how eggs are bad for your cholesterol, but they're good. But then they're bad again. But they're good. I don't know. What are they?
They're good.
Are they good for it again?
They've always been good.
Well, I know they have been. But, like, what is it now? What is the Ministry of BS say now?
I think the narrative has changed since we've seen a lot of these carnivore and keto diets pop up. I think that eggs have – I think the bashing of eggs has subsided a bit.
Mm. I'm just saying, you know. So that's what they were trying to. That's what they were pushing. So now jeans are bad. The most iconic piece of freedom in culture is bad now. Bad to wear. I think there's been an agenda for a long time to try to push you to what Carol Roth has said. You know, you will own nothing and you will be happy. I feel like there's been a. I think I've told you guys about this before. Like the whole. Do you guys know that whole tiny house thing? Can I just be honest? The whole shabby chic thing and the everything white palette and the tiny house movement are all to make you have no color, boring, dirty old stuff in tiny spaces. That's what it is. Shiplap everything. Just saying. I don't know. I get real weird with that stuff. Right?
Yeah.
It's just weird. Like the tiny house thing. Did I tell you the one episode I watched where these people, they didn't have no land. They had no land. And they spent, I don't even know how you can spend, it was like $200,000 on basically an outhouse on wheels with a tiny little space for a bed. And they kept going, well, we love the fixtures. I'm like, you cannot even lay down in it. You love the fixtures? You basically take a deuce right next to where you sit and you eat your meals.
Yeah, or cook the meals.
Yeah, like literally you're dropping a deuce on the other side of your stove. That's weird, man. That's weird, right? Right?
Yeah, no matter what the context.
And then I look at them, and they had a cat, too. Of course they did. He was like an underwater basket weaver, and she braided tow hair. I don't know. And they both made $1 million. I don't know. And they had a cat, and they sold their yuppie apartment. They lived in New York or some urban major city. And they didn't even have any land. They're like, well, now we've got to figure out where to put our... we got to figure out where to put our house. It's not a house. It was a glorified outhouse with a bed area and a tiny little stove on wheels. And they made a big deal about the paint and look at the flooring. And all she kept going on about the fixtures and it's so well appointed. And I'm just cannot get over it. Couldn't even do laundry. And I'm like, where are you going to go do your laundry? If they have friends over, if they entertain, they all have to sit outside because they all can't fit in their little outhouse on wheels. They all got to sit outside, right? On property they don't own because they didn't even think about the land part of it. That's wild. You can tell that people are, in some respects, they just have no idea about property ownership. Well, we have an idea for our house. You got to have land first. What? Well, where are you going to put it? It can't just float in the air. Where are you going to put it at? Oh my gosh, bro, I couldn't get over this. Hang on. They had a whole, I stopped watching it. Because I made fun of it. Yeah, they call it, they have tiny house hunters and they call tiny house big living.
Is it big?
What?
Is it big living?
It's a damn dollhouse.
Is it big living?
It's not big living. It is a literal dollhouse. They're dollhouses. If I ever saw one of these driving down the road, I would die of laughter. I would wreck my car because I would have deceased and died of laughter watching it roll down. And these people, it's not that they're broke or they're struggling or they can't afford anything else. This is how they virtue signal. I actually was only able to watch like two episodes and I could not anymore. I just couldn't. Like when they were, I watched this one lady. Oh my gosh. I watched this one episode, right? I could go on about it. She spent like $500 on the faucet. And it was one of those big, curvy, like professional chef. Five, and that's like on the cheaper side, isn't it? I think for those big, giant old faucets. Yeah. Actually, it was like over $500 on her faucet. But I kid you not, hands to sky, she was balking over how much they needed for their little mobile, their version of a sewer system. She couldn't wrap her brain around that. She could not wrap her brain around it. She's like, but $500 something on this faucet seems like a good idea for my shack. It seems like a good idea. What am I going to do with my dookie? I don't know. She could not figure it out. And I'm watching this and I'm like, this is the country. This is the country right now. This is us. Right?
They're old enough to vote.
Oh my gosh. No, Kane, I swear she was like in her late 30s.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like this guy. They talk about this artist. He doesn't just make tiny houses. He creates micro masterpieces. Shut up. You're a damn dumpster diver. Shut up. I hate this whole movement. Hate. I also don't like the all-white palette. I feel like it's anti-everything. It's anti-tradition. Guys, here's an idea. Let's have everything be grayish. What? Imagine the color of depressing, and then I want you to make that your home. What?
All 125 square feet.
Yeah, all 5 square feet of it. Grayish. Mm-hmm. Just everything. Just imagine everything the same color, right?
Those houses are built out of shiplap.
Or the whole shabby chic thing. The men out there are like, I don't even know what that is. Don't ask your wives about it, because you'll never get away from that conversation. Just trust me on this. That's where they had this lady designer take things that were ratty and tattered and like, oh, this is character. It's like how when people say something, like when they say something is rustic, it's just crappy. Rustic is fancy for crappy. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, right? That's what that means.
Hi, I'm Margaret, a rhetoric and media major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
Many argue today that the Constitution is outdated because it addresses problems peculiar to the 18th century so long ago. And some of it does read sort of quaintly. But consider the injunction against titles of nobility in Article 1, Section 9, for example. Is that so outdated? The purpose of that injunction is to prevent the government granting special privileges for partisan reasons. This strikes at the rule of law, the rule under which we're all to be treated the same. The crony capitalism so common today, where the government gives favors and tax dollars to some businesses and advantages over others, is exactly the kind of thing the Constitution was meant to prohibit. The Constitution is not outdated at all.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So there's a Arizona Supreme Court story from Arizona. They just upheld a 160-year-old law regarding abortion. They said that it goes into effect. It will go into effect in 14 days. It's kind of similar to some of the other ones passed. It was a 4-2 decision. They said that it's when... they make narrow exceptions to save the life of a mother. They have every state has exemptions where it concerns rape and incest, etc. But this one, that's very interesting that was upheld in Arizona, of all places, because I always thought Arizona was just a little bit maybe more to the left on that. A porch package dressed as a thief or a porch package thief, rather, dressed as a trash bag to steal a porch package. Like an actual...
Did you see that video?
Yes, an actual trash bag. They actually dressed as a trash bag. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And were able to steal these packages. And also, they were obscuring their identity. You couldn't see who it was. You couldn't see...
garbage ghillie suit.
Yeah, I've never... I mean, they walked up... You know how like you see on... like Warner Brothers, when like Bugs Bunny or somebody would be a shrub and they'd like walk up, and then the trash bag would walk up and then absorb the package and then walk away. I mean, that's one way of doing it, I guess. That's really wild. So you got to watch out for your stuff out there. This, apparently, it's the more expensive to die in California than it is in any other state. Really? That's, well, one of the states. They said an actual like funeral directors. It's the National Funeral Directors Association. They did. The average cost of a funeral in the U.S. is like $7,800, but the highest prices for the actual, I guess, the whole service are Hawaii, D.C., Massachusetts, and then California and New York. Those are the top five. Is anybody shocked that they're all blue states? In fact, all of the top 10 are blue states. Interesting. Lorraine has a piece up It's up at Substack now, and it's about the people of East Palestine, Ohio. Have you guys heard about this? This is one of the crazier stories. I feel so bad for these people in East Palestine. I really, really do. First, it had to do with this report from the EPA. It was first reported by WTRF, and the federal officials were saying that the train derailment there did not qualify as a public health emergency. Yeah. And then they were also saying that, well, you know, the controlled burn of the toxic chemicals, you really didn't need to do that. I know. Yeah, you didn't. It was unnecessary. You guys didn't need to do it. So they apparently, the railroad company, they just thought it would be better to burn it all off. And that would be faster than like draining the cars and doing all this other stuff. That's what it sounded like. And the Norfolk Southern, they've been fighting the residents, according to Reuters, and losing suit after suit. So this piece that's up over at Chapter and Verse, it is the EPA is giving the people of East Palestine, Ohio, the shaft. Because you have health concern after health concern, and whenever residents bring the issue up, they're told, we can't connect this to the derailment, over and over again. And then you have the National Transportation Safety Board report that came out, and they were saying, yeah, there's no need to burn these chemicals off. They should not have ever had to do it in the first place, the railroad. And the information that was given to them at the time, apparently that was not told to any of the other officials on the ground. It just sounds like an absolute... This is insane. This story is crazy. And so now these people in this town are still dealing with all of these issues. The GAO, or the Government Accountability Project, they were saying that the EPA had the authority to declare the site a public health emergency, but they instead decided, and the quote was, literally, best not to get into this. That's like Lorraine has the email. Best not to get into this. I'm sorry, what? So they were trying to get ahead of it by saying they did not want to declare this area where you had this toxic derailment a health risk because they said, quote, the widespread health problems and ongoing chemical exposures haven't been documented. But then there were reports that said literally no government agency was actually testing residents' health. And that includes the CDC and the EPA. Even though they said that they would create a literal World War I chemical, a World War I era chemical by burning off that oxyvinyl chloride, they decided it's best not to get into this. When's the last time they tried to cover this? Oh, the Animas River, Colorado. Remember when the EPA was trying to cover that up?
Man.
Ooh.
Wait, what does EPA stand for again?
The Environmental Putz Agency.
Oh, then it's accurate.
Yes.
Because I thought it was a protection agency of some sort. It seems like they're almost intentionally doing these things.
Yes.
Like,
it does sound that way.
Do we need to fund the... I didn't vote for the EPA either.
I didn't vote for them
either.
Why
are we funding
the
EPA again?
What do they do?
I'm not sure.
I've hated the EPA since Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I haven't heard of anything that they've done...
That's how I learned how to hate the EPA.
Well,
they let all the ghosts loose.
Yeah. Have they done anything well?
Shut it down.
I don't think they have.
I don't think they have either.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.